My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Back here talking about the big game this Saturday. Talking about LSU taking on Ole Miss coming to Death Valley. Happy to welcome in Jordy Collado, host of the Jordy Collado Show, now joining us to help break down this matchup. Jordy, how you been doing heading into this game?
Steve, Mike, great to be back. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Jordy, man, with all the injuries, and everybody got them one place or another, but you hate to get them in one spot. LSU has them in this game at wide receiver. Here's my thing. If Shelton Sampson can do anything, now's his opportunity. And when they let him do it the first time, man, he got underneath Brian Kelly's skin a little bit, and we read his lips real well. Hey, you want to play this game or what? And he let Sampson know it. With the injury to Kyle Parker and C.J. Daniels and Hilton, this would be the perfect spot for Sampson to showcase his skills.
I said the same thing this morning, Mike. We had a 10-minute segment on Sampson, on Shelton Sampson, and talking about the opportunity that he has in front of him. And, you know, we have been blessed at LSU, whether you're a fan or covering the program, to see – it's an incredible line of wide receivers. I mean, they date back to even, you know, the 80s with guys like Wendell Davis and through Todd Kinchin and Eddie Kinnison to, you know, all these guys that have come through here from Dwayne Bowe to Jamar Chase and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas and Odell and everybody in between. This team has options, Mike, and Sampson is a guy who came in very highly regarded, five-star prospect at Catholic High, and was really one of those prospects that no matter the game, no matter the opponent, you could kind of throw it up to him and he could change it. You know, that usually translates to the SEC. And like you said, you know, Brian Kelly and the coaching staff has needed to see more. And this is a great chance. That injury report was very highlighted to that wide receiver room. Like we said, they've got options, but Shelton Sampson seems like the likely candidate to really take a step forward this weekend in a big game, Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night.
I think, Jordy, one of the things is, I know in doing the pregame show with Herb Tyler just a few weeks back, we could see the way Aaron Anderson was playing with much more confidence than he did a year ago. He's always been a playmaker, watching him at Edna Carr, his quickness, his ability to take that first step and get up the field. And, you know, he'll go over the middle if you ask him to. In my opinion, I think he's made the biggest jump from any returnee player from LSU on offense than anyone else on that football team from what we saw a year ago.
I agree. I think he's emerged as the number one guy. I mean, really, this team has been looking for somebody consistently that Nussmeier can look to, kind of bail himself out of trouble and trust and put the ball up. Lacy has shown over the last couple of games that, you know, he still has some of those drop issues, and, you know, that may, you know, hinder Nussmeier in big spots. And I think Anderson has been the most consistent. I think, like you said, he's taken the biggest leap. You know, Brian Kelly really talked about him doing his things, you know, really off the field, kind of going into helping him on the field. And him taking those strides. There was a big expectation for Aaron Anderson in this offseason and going into this year to be somebody who stepped up. And, you know, I mean, he's been there since fall camp. I mean, he's looked fantastic. And, you know, covering him at Carr, you know, one of the things that we always talk about with him is 20 special teams touchdowns at Edna Carr in high school. I mean, in Louisiana 5A football, if you're scoring a rate of those types of touchdowns and explosive plays, that translates to the SEC. And, you know, you're starting to see it. He's a big playmaker. And, you know, obviously that quote that Saban gave him after the game got a lot of run last year. But, you know, you could even see from the other side, Alabama and Saban kind of wishing they still had him, telling him that he would be a big contributor on last year's team for the Tide. So, you know, it's great to see Aaron Anderson. I'm happy for him. And, you know, I think he's really kind of just getting revved up. I think he's got a lot more plays left in the tank.
Look at the running back position. Maybe give us a little update with Caden Durham with the toe injury. But, Jordy, I just look at it this way. This offense has run much better in the running game, and also – I don't know if they've had a receiver catch the ball as clean as Caden Durham since Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Clyde could do it, man. He was really good catching the ball coming out of the backfield. But I think post-Clyde, they've not had somebody that could catch the ball nearly as well as Durham. And this team offensively runs better with him. So give us a little bit on the health status and your thoughts on the development of Caden Durham.
Well, it's going to be interesting because he was on that injury report. And, you know, if you go back and watch that injury, Mike, I mean, that is a wicked-looking injury for a running back. It's on his second touchdown against Southern Alabama, and Miles Frazier just kind of collapses dead weight onto his leg. And, you know, he's lucky to me that it's just a toe injury. I mean, he came back into that game, which was good to see to kind of relieve the stress of it being a knee, but you know, it didn't look good, and hopefully he can be ready to play because, like you alluded to, the team just runs more efficiently with him in the game. I mean, you know, some of these things in the run game that were setting them back early in the season, I think came to patience and knowing how to cut back and knowing how to set these blocks up. And Durham has really shown that he's a cutback guy. He's got really good vision, and then once he puts the gas down, once he slams on the accelerator, I mean, he's gone. You know, you forget it. And you know, to echo what you said, I think he's such a threat in the pass game as well that you know he's created so many problems for defensive coordinators. I mean, you know, guys that you think you got to go in there and kind of play a one-track mind against Durham. I mean, you've seen him on some sets where, I mean, they've had him lined up in the slot. They've had him lined up out wide. They've run him out of the backfield. I mean, they trust him in the pass game in his hands. And, you know, it's kind of been fun to watch because he's an explosive player, Mike. I mean, he's, you know, like we saw it 2 weeks ago. But, you know, I think the plays he made against South Carolina has been the most impressive thing that I've seen all season with Durham. I mean, he showed toughness, speed, physicality. He showed vision. He showed the full package, and future's bright with Durham. And you know, that's a Frank Wilson special, man. I mean, you got to get he's got a stable of guys back there, or he did to start the season. And you know, one weekend you think you got John Emery, the next weekend you think you got Josh Williams, the next thing you think you got Caleb Jackson, and then here comes Caden Durham. I mean, that's kind of just how Frank Wilson operates.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Looking at that run game, obviously going to be so important in this matchup, I think, against Ole Miss. Can LSU, this Tiger team, do enough on Saturday to keep that Ole Miss offense off the field? You know, winding down the clock more, just, you know, bleeding more time just to keep that offense away just because how deadly the Rebels can be.
Well, I think that's the plan, right? You know what I mean? I think that's kind of when you look at the offset of the season and what they were going into, that's the way they wanted to play, and you know, specifically in games like this. I don't like the matchup, you know, being honest. I think that the matchup is not well-suited for LSU. When you look at the way that Kentucky beat, you know, Ole Miss, I'm not sure if LSU can play that style, especially for four quarters. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be anxious to see how they play them, if they can keep them off the field, because, you know, I mean, that as much as Brian Kelly doesn't has said it, you know, he does not want to get into a track meet with Ole Miss. I mean, you know, he showed that last season, but I'm not sure if they've made enough improvement on the defense to play the style that really can punch this offense in the mouth. Now, one thing that's going for LSU is that they're beat up. I mean, Ole Miss is beat up. They lost a center. They've lost some offensive linemen. They've lost some guys in some key spots. And whether or not Trey Harris is going to play is going to be a big, you know, big storyline here. So, you know, you catch Ole Miss at the right time, but still on paper, I think this thing still favors Ole Miss as far as the matchup goes.
One of the things I've seen different from Ole Miss in the early games and in the last two has been Jackson Dart getting a little bit greedy, wanting to hit the big play, because he was able to do that against teams they were much better against. Then all of a sudden now, Kentucky, South Carolina, especially in watching the Kentucky game, Jordy, he had throws underneath, the guy's wide open, and he's trying to hit the deep ball downfield. Now, that's a little bit of an extension of lane. Okay, I'm not going to blame it all on Jackson. But I think that you see a little bit of a difference in his play of him wanting to hit that big chunk play when he's got an open guy 8, 9, 10 yards downfield, and he doesn't even look at him. He sort of overlooks him. I mean, I'm throwing it deep. It caught him against Kentucky. Didn't have as much, say, play against South Carolina. But I think it's something for LSU you're going to have to be cognizant of how you get after him. One thing he can do well, he can take off and run. And we saw it a year ago. And he gives that dimension to this team. But over the last couple of weeks, I've seen that in him a lot more than early on when I think it was easy to hit the big pass because of who they were playing. Kentucky and South Carolina, he was passing up that short stuff. Man, I want to hit the 35-yard play downfield. I mean, you're not always going to get that.
No, I agree, and, you know, I'm with you. I think that a lot is lended to Lane and the way that he coaches Dart up and, you know, what he really wants from that position. But, yeah, you know, I think that's what LSU will need this Saturday night, something like that. I think they're going to need a greedy play from Jackson Dart in a turnover. They're going to need to take away a possession or two from Ole Miss if they can, because, you know, I mean, just like we've talked about with Ole Miss offense and what they can do with the football. So, you know, I think that, you know, Dart playing that style, look, I think he's feeling himself, Mike. I think he read a lot when people were talking about the first month of the season that he was, you know, in the Heisman discussion, and he was, you know, one of these players that everybody was talking about. And, you know, I think as a veteran guy and some of the stuff that, you know, he got in the off season. I mean, his NIL package, if you kind of dig into it, it is wild. I mean, he's got full access to a private jet. I mean, it's an incredible deal. So, you know, I think that comes with a little bit of pressure when things start to tighten up a little bit. And, you know, Dart, I think, is kind of showing that. So LSU needs that Saturday night. They need, you know, kind of a big turnover, a big spot that, you know, they can take an offensive possession away from Kiffin, Dart, and the Rebels.
Jordy, definitely appreciate the time. Hope you have a good one and enjoy Saturday, obviously.
Thank you, Jordy.
All right, boys. Thank you.